VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
It's the Benny Randall Show. Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, thank you for allowing me into your heart and your homes. And you can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com and we can get up close and personal. And like always, you can download this episode and hundreds and thousands of other episodes on the Vashani Radio app. You in your app store for your iPhones or your Androids. Or if you're just too lazy to do that, you can go online at VashaniRadio.com. Hit whoever you want to listen to and just make it happen. Today's like no other day. We got an extraordinary entrepreneur. All right. I call her a superstar. That's what she is in the business world. Her name is Melinda Emerson. The small business lady is America's number one small business expert. She has been a thriving entrepreneur for nearly 20 years and is internationally known keynote speaker and an expert on small business development and social media marketing. She publishes a resource at SucceedAsYourOwnBoss.com. Her small business advice is widely read, reaching more than 3 million entrepreneurs each week online. A pioneer in social media marketing, she is the creator and the host of Small Business Chat, the longest running live chat on Twitter for small business owners. Forbes magazine named her number one woman for entrepreneurs to follow on Twitter. Let me tell you something. I can go on and on, but how about you go to her site, okay, and you check it out, because what she's got so much stuff she wants to drop. And I had the pleasure of hearing her speak at the business class live last week at American Express, and I knew the moment she opened her mouth, I was like, that's a real one. That's a real one right there. Melinda, welcome to the Benny Randall Show. How are you?
Oh, no, I'm here, Benny, but you know I got all kinds of craziness going on around me, so.
that is A-okay. That's what this is all about, though, you know what I mean? We get dropping information while life is moving around, and it never stops, and you know that better than anybody.
Oh, listen, it is my joy to be the small biz lady. My mission is to end small business failure, and every single thing I do is about that. So whether it's blogs I write, podcasts we record, videos we put out, it is about helping people start and grow successful small businesses so they can go on what I call that laptop free vacation.
You better show you right up in here. So let's start with this, Melinda. What got you excited about small business? What was that thing that says, I am the small business lady? What was the turning point?
You know, I have been in business for 23 years. And when I was about 8 or 9 years into my business, I had a crisis in my business. I got pregnant with my son. My husband and I got pregnant with my son. And I got put on bed rest for 6 months. Mm. And I got put on bed rest back in 2005. And I want to tell you, back then, Wi-Fi was not in everybody's house. It wasn't like you could just go home and have your laptop and keep working. Mm-hmm. When I got sent home, I was just at home. And what I realized was I had made the biggest mistake you could make in business. I built a business that could not run without me. Mm. And what I also realized at the time is that I would have run my business better if I had had better business advice. But back then, there wasn't anybody in mainstream media talking about business. You had Susie Orman and Gene Chatsky talking about personal finance and 401ks, but there was nobody out here telling people how to build successful systems that could be replicated in a business. There were some books out, but in terms of everyday media, there wasn't a person. And while I was on bed rest, I just started taking all kinds of notes about all of the expensive lessons I had learned in my business. And man, the list was a mile long. But what I learned from that is that I had the information that I wanted to share with others. And so I started, my first thing I did was wrote my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, which actually these days, it's been in print for 12 years. It's actually in its third edition through Simon & Schuster. But what I will tell you is the reason why that book is successful is because I'm not the hero at the end of every story. I tell the truth about a bunch of dumb stuff I did and a bunch of expensive lessons. And I think it really resonates with people because I developed a step-by-step plan for people to transition from having a job to starting a business. And that is what set me on the path to becoming the small biz lady. But let me tell you how I actually got the nickname. In 2008, was when my book was due to my publisher. Mm-hmm. I turned it in September 1st, 2008. And then about 14 days later, you remember what happened, right? The market crashed. People's 401ks became 10Ks. There were massive layoffs. It was the beginning of the Great Recession, as we refer to it now.
Absolutely.
And my publisher called me up and said, listen, kid, thank you so much for being a first-time author that actually turned your book in on time. But we don't think anyone's thinking about entrepreneurship right now. And we're going to shelf your book until March of 2010.
Wow.
18 months, they bumped my book.
Wow.
And I was sitting up here like, hold on, Willis. What do you mean? You guys are gonna, like, all these people are losing their jobs right now. Y'all don't think anybody's thinking about entrepreneurship. And they're like, no. We want to release your book in a more favorable book environment. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And literally, I was talking to one of my friends in the National Speakers Association, and she said to me, listen, Melinda, if I were you, I would start publicizing that book like it was coming out. And as a matter of fact, I would figure out this new social media thing, because word is, it's going to be the next big thing in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was 2008. Twitter was 1 year old in 2008, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I said, okay, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't have the money to buy my book back from these people, right? So I was like, I just had to wait. And so I reached out to a woman who was a publicist at the time who knew as much about social media as anyone did back in the day, right? Because nobody knew anything really about it. Uh-huh. And she said to me, after I told her my sad story, what happened to me, how the publisher threw me under the bus, and she said, you mean to tell me we got 18 months to build your author platform? Now, back then, people didn't even use those two words together.
Exactly.
Author platform. What was that? So she said, I know what we're going to do. I said, well, what is we going to do? And she said, we're going to go out on Twitter and build your brand. And I remember saying to her, what is tweeter? Like, I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know what it was. So she's like, no, don't worry about it. I'll teach you how to use Twitter, but Twitter is going to be our modality. That's what we're going to use.
I love
and so
that.
I was like, all right, Lord. All right, so the day finally came for me to go and get my own Twitter account. So I get on Twitter.com, I put in Melinda Emerson, and I get this notice, this name is already taken. I was like, wait a minute. First of all, I probably have met six other adult Melindas like in my whole life. My name is not common. My name was never on the gas station keychain thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, my name is not common. And so for somebody to get Melinda Emerson before me in 2008 was ridiculous. Right? So I was like, wait a minute. I was like, somebody else has my name? What? You know, so my girl was like, look, let's just go on Facebook and find out how many other Melinda Eversons there are. Well, it turns out there are seven other Melinda Eversons. I'm the only black one, however, and I own MelindaEverson.com. And so they all know who I am.
When they were looking for it, they were like, anyways, we can't get this.
Right. We can't get none of this stuff. So what happened was she and I had to come up with a nickname for me on Twitter. And so that is the day that I became the small biz lady.
Wow.
But I will tell you that is the best branding accident that ever could have happened to me, because there are thousands, probably millions of so-called small business coaches out here, but there is only one small biz lady. And I happen to be America's number one small business expert with a brand that reaches 3 million entrepreneurs weekly online. And so I will tell you that all of that felt really terrible at the time, right? All of it just felt like just a kick, almost like a pounding. But what I will tell you is that every kick is a boost. It doesn't feel that way at the time. But if you look at the opportunity, you will realize that sometimes God is slowing you down to make room for the enlargement that he has for you. And that's what people don't realize. I mean, right now, I'm walking around with a broken foot. And people were like, oh, no, you broke your foot? I'm like, yes, I broke my foot. It's very inconvenient. I had to blow out a bunch of travel and stuff on my calendar. But then I thought to myself, there is a new idea God is birthing in me, and he needed me to sit down. Mm-hmm. He needed me to take the summer off so that he could allow me to be silent and be still so that he could put the next big idea for me in me. Mm. And so I just had to look at it as that versus being like, yeah, it sucked to cancel my beach vacation with my family. Yeah, it did. But rather than dwelling on that, right?
Exactly.
I had to sit around and really look at the opportunity. And that's what entrepreneurship is about. Yep. It is about looking at the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know this is the first time I talk to somebody that talk more than me. Okay, I'm going to try to get some questions in here because she be going off and she be dropping it. Can't you tell why she is number one? She is so passionate. I love it. I'm over here just dying and taking some notes too. So we just making it happen. All right, so Melinda, let me ask you this question. The first thing, starting a new business, you talk about in one of your blogs, making it legit. People using hustles. Let's talk about how to make this side hustle become a real business.
Well, first of all, you need to incorporate your business. Mm-hmm. You should not be operating a business with your social security number or what is referred to as a sole prop or whatever. No, you need an actual business entity. You need an EIN number. You need a business bank account. Mm-hmm. And even though S-Corps are a little bit more paperwork, having an S-Corp allows you to collect a paycheck from your business. If you are an LLC, you can only do draws. Yep. And the challenge with that is when you later in life want to buy a house, buy a car, buy anything, and have to prove your income, it's a whole lot harder to prove it from draws on a business versus a payroll check that you can present to someone as proof of your income. And so I really want people to think about that. There's power in the paycheck. And the other thing, too, is when the PPP loans came out, part of the reason why folks weren't able to get loans was because they didn't have a 941 form. A 941 form is the form that your payroll company gives you to show what your quarterly payroll payments were. So these are all things that people need to know. Side hustling is great, but I want you to incorporate a real business. I want you to pay your quarterly taxes. I want you to be strategic with how you're running your business so that one day you can transition from full-time employment to running your business full-time.
I love it. See, that's why I made my company S-Corp, because there's a difference. And while we own this, this is a good transition to the next question. Let them know there's a slight difference between an S-Corp and a C-Corp. Can you let people know the slight difference?
Well, an S-Corp is really a small corporation. C-Corp is like these Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies you see traded on NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange. That's not the business entity that you need. An S-Corp is plenty for a small business. And it's just, it's a little bit more administrative paperwork. You have to do minutes and, you know, that kind of stuff. But the reality is that you need to talk with an accountant or an attorney about what is the right corporate structure or tax structure for your business. But I have been an S-Corp for 23 years and I don't regret it.
I am right. That's when you know a person knows what they talk about. I love it. So because one thing I notice, a lot of people, the first thing they do, if it's not a sole proprietorship, because they don't want to do it, but they jump into these LLCs because everybody's saying you should be an LLC, you should be an LLC. And I love the points that you gave a little earlier that makes the defining difference about it. Okay, so now the company is set. Now they are ready to get customers. Where are small businesses making bad decisions as in targeting customers? Because of course most people are going to start with their family and friends and hopefully build it up from there, and then they realize that the people who closest to you a lot of times may not support what you're doing until it's a hit somewhere else.
100%. The people closest to you are probably going to be the last people to buy from you. So just know that. But the thing that you've got to realize when you decide that you're ready to go get customers, you got to figure out who that customer is. You have to really, you have to niche to get rich. So you really do have to really drill down who that target customer is, because I promise you this, if everybody could use your product or service, no one will. So you need to get real clear on who you're targeting, what their challenges are, and how you can position your product or service as a solution. And I don't want you to just know basic demographic information. You got to know their aspirations. You have to know what their motivations are. That's how you can create an emotional connection with your target customer so that you can build rapport with them, build trust, and then build that business relationship.
Ooh, you just dropping it like it's hot up in here, Melinda. I'm sweating and I'm inside in the AC, but you making it happen. So let me ask you this, Melinda. Now, once the people are targeting, one thing I've always known as a business owner is that you got to build your community before you need them. Most people try to build their community after they need them. Let's talk a little bit about building a community that makes sense to your product.
Well, I can just use myself as a great example of this. So when I realized that my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, was not going to come out for 18 months, what I had to do was build a following. And one of the things that I did three things every day once I got on Twitter. I shared a helpful article about small business every day, because back then I didn't even have a blog when I first started out. I also shared something personal about myself. Back then my son was 1 year old, so I used to tweet stuff about him, like, you know, had to act like an ape to get JoJo to eat a banana this morning, you know. And then I would answer somebody's small business question every day. And that's what I did to build a following. So by the time about 3 months in, I created Small Biz Chat because I realized I was spending so much time chasing people, finding people with questions, that I said, well, what if I created a way for people with questions to find me? So that's why I created Small Biz Chat, which I did for 10 years every Wednesday night live on Twitter. And then 6 months after I got on Twitter was when I launched my blog. And since I launched my blog in 2009, I have never not posted 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
And what I will tell you is that what has been the secret sauce for me in building a following and building an online community is relentless consistency.
Mm, I like that.
I showed up every day. I posted on my blog every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and still do, right? So you could set a watch to when a new blog post is coming out from me. I became must-see TV, right? And I became like, you knew when a new post was coming out from me. And the other thing you knew was that it wasn't going to be junk.
Oh, I love that.
That was the other thing you knew, right? Like, I never have put some sloppy mess on my blog. I don't do it. And let me tell you something, that has created so many other opportunities for me, because I got a call one day from Entrepreneur Magazine. They wanted to know what I do a column for them. And you know what they told me? They had read my blog for 1 year before they even called me.
Mm, consistency.
So the thing you got to understand is when it comes to developing content, if you are serious about this game right here, if you want to be out here developing content, you can never put junk out there, because no one will ever hire you if you've got just okay, so-so, me too, uninspired content. No one cares.
Very,
so you've
got to
make sure, you've got to make sure that when you show up, it's worth it for people. Like, they mad if they miss it. That's how you want to show up. And I think that it's a mentality, though, because I think there's so many get rich quick, I want to be an influencer on Instagram or YouTube or whatever I'm doing, or now TikTok or whatever. You know, it's like, well, that's cool, but what's up under that? What are you really selling? Because it can't be about you twerking on TikTok. What are you selling?
No, you didn't.
Unless it's booty shorts, what are you selling, girl? What are you doing?
Oh, I love
you
it.
You know, so that's you know, that's really how I come down with it. You have to what I call friend raise before you can fundraise, right? Mm. So you have to connect with people, and then you have to communicate with them, and you have to communicate with them compelling content, and then you have to do that consistently so that you can become a trusted member of the community. And then once you do that, you can turn that relationship into commerce. See, what you see a lot of people out here doing now is they try to go from connection to commerce. They don't build relationship. They don't build trust. How many times have you connected to somebody on LinkedIn and then 2 seconds later they pitched in you what they do? I don't know you, boo. Why are you pitching? I don't know you. Why are you? You going to make me figure out how to unconnect from somebody on LinkedIn. That's what you going to make me learn how to do that. You know? So like, don't do that.
You know what I love about that. You know what I love about that, Melinda? I am so with you. And one thing, you know, this is a side note on LinkedIn, those people who use these bots and try to act like it's a personal person.
Oh,
and
man.
I will unfollow you and unconnect.
Listen.
I will unconnect immediately.
It is so funny to me because since my book was published by Simon & Schuster, people with those bots will approach me about, well, I'd love to work with Simon & Schuster. I'm like, I would too. They're my publisher. I don't work for them. Like, they're not. That's not even the name of my company. Like, their bots don't even work right. So I'm actually glad that my profile makes it look like I work for Simon & Schuster, because then I can always see who's used a bot to contact me.
Absolutely. And you know what I do, Melinda? You know what I do? Like, when the moment I know it's a bot, I'm going to ask a question that makes no sense just to see what the answer be. Like, did you go to 7-Eleven yesterday? And the bot will say, I don't think I understand what you were saying. No, you understood. You're a bot. Unconnect. Just that simple.
Right.
So that is powerful. All right. So let's move on. And what I like when Melinda was at the the conference, she was dropping about, you know, credit and building credit and cards and stuff like that. Let's build on that a little bit. How important is building business credit versus using your personal finances to grow your business?
Well, there's a couple of things you've got to understand about credit. First of all, your personal credit is your business's credit when you first start out. Let's just say that. So it is extremely important for you to build your personal credit as high as you possibly can. Because even if you walk into Staples and try to get a little Staples credit card, they're going to run your personal credit. So you've got to be really careful about how you manage your personal finances. Pay your bills on time. Do not use over 30% of your credit card capacity. Keep your credit utilization low. Like, those are things you want to do. And you want to make sure you have different kinds of credit. So a mortgage, a car payment, a credit card that you pay down every month. Like, all of those things are good ways to build your personal credit. Now, business credit is very important as well. So the first thing you want to do when you start out in business is you want to get a Dun & Bradstreet number. Your Dun & Bradstreet number is how you start building what we call business credit, which is also known as your Paydex score. Now, one of the best ways for you to build your Paydex score is to get yourself one business credit card. And what you buy for your business, whether it's gas for your truck or whatever supplies you need, office supplies, you buy those, you pay it off. You buy those, you pay it off. You also want to negotiate credit relationships with your vendors, because those are other things that help you build your Paydex score. And this is very important. So when you get ready to go and apply for a business loan, business line of credit, there are corporations that if you try to do business with them, they're going to check your Paydex score to see how you manage your finances before they trust you with a significant contract, right? So your Paydex score is extremely important, and a lot of people don't even know what it is. So I'm so glad that you asked me that question. Now, I also want to say this. I know there are people out here telling people to get business credit cards and to use those resources to pay your personal bills. That is against the law. Do not do that. It is considered fraud. And I don't know where our folks started telling people to get business credit cards to pay off their personal finance, but it is nonsense. Do not do that.
Perfect. I hope y'all getting it. I hope you're getting what she is dropping, because she is dropping some serious nuggets, where I'm telling you, if you pay attention to the small things that you're saying, you will be successful in business over the long haul. Okay. So you talked about building your business credit. You talked about the difference between the personal credit. Now, when people are starting a business, a lot of people want capital. All right. And a lot of people don't have capital. But do you suggest people go try to look for capital first off, or should they use any monies that they have first before they try to give away some equity or something, because you don't know the caliber of the business?
When you first start out in business, the money to start your business is going to come from your right or your left pocket. And I say this all the time, you know, banks do not loan money to start up businesses. So please remove that fantasy from your head. Like, your personal resources, your personal savings, your 401k, whatever cash you have access to is how you're going to start your business. The other way you can get money to start your business is with customers, right? Go sell some stuff, right? But the other thing I want you to think about too is that even if the only way you can get money as a startup business is if you're buying into a franchise. But even if you're buying into a franchise, you have to show that you have a lot of financial capacity before somebody loans you a couple of $100,000 to do a fit out in a retail space. So either way, your personal finances has everything to do with your ability to start your business. Because I say this, people who have savings have options. If you're thinking about starting a business, let's say if you're side hustling right now, you should be saving 30 to 40% of every paycheck if you're a single person. If you have a partner, you're married, you need to be living off of one paycheck. Because the first thing you got to do is cure your addiction to your paycheck. And the reason why that's important is because it takes 12 to 18 months just for a small business to break even. That means for the business to be able to pay the business's bills. That does not include replacing your corporate salary. That's just the business having enough money to operate. So on average, it's almost a year and a half, 2 years for that. You don't get to take no kind of regular paycheck typically in a organic startup business till year three or four. So you got to have a while. How are you paying your mortgage in the meantime? What are you doing? That's why people need to keep their jobs. I don't believe in folks quitting a job to start a business. I believe you do both until it hurts. You got to do both until you have 6 months of working capital in an account that you don't have to touch, that you don't have to live off of. That's when you can start thinking about transitioning to running your business full time.
Oh, she said, keep your job until it hurts.
Yeah, because listen, paying for your own health insurance is expensive. Paying for health insurance for a family of four is real expensive, right? So you have to make sure what you want to do is learn on somebody else's dime. Because when you first start out in business, honestly, it's your hypothesis of what you think is going to happen. And once you get out here and try to get you some clients, that's when you're going to find out if you really got something they want and they're willing to pay for. Or if you have a marketing message that resonates with them. So while you're fumbling around and figuring that stuff out, keep your good job, please.
Y'all heard it right here. She told, keep your good job, okay? So, so let me ask you this, Melinda. What was the most important lesson you learned building your business? What was that most important lesson that it hurt, but it was the most important lesson that you learned in running a successful small business?
It was niche to get rich, 100%. And I'll tell you why. In the first 3 years of my business, I chased anything, anybody that I thought had money. And I wasted so much time and so much money, frankly. You know, it is so much easier to sell when you can say you specialize in selling something. Like, there's a big difference between being a graphic designer and being a graphic designer that specializes in educational materials. Because that second business can get business all day. That first business is chasing anybody who need a logo, need a banner, need a whatever. No. You want to specialize in something. You want to be known for something. Because it's so much easier to get business when you are.
So let me ask you this, Melinda. Why are you so passionate? Because when I listen to you and I listen to the information, you're just not giving information. You were giving information from a place of love. You were giving information from a place of learning. You can tell you're at a point where it's no longer about just the money. How did you get there? Why is it so passionate?
Well, I am passionate because I am following my God-given assignment. So it's not about the money. I mean, in 2007, I had a vision and a dream three times to become America's number one small business expert, a vision that I truly believe was sent to me by God himself. And I did. He had to send it to me three times because I didn't understand it the first two. But then I finally got it. But what's amazing, when you figure out what your assignment is, and then he moves every mountain out of your way to show you that you're on the right path, it is amazing. It really is amazing. And it's like, for me, my occupation is also my advocation. So I don't even know what I would do if I wasn't the small biz lady. I'd probably be some business professor at some university or something. I don't know. But I, you know, the point is that for me, it is my calling. So when you walk in your calling, it doesn't feel like work. And I know what I know that I know, right? So I've been through the fire, the wind, and the rain. I've been through two recessions already and a pandemic. Right?
And a divorce
and being a professional single mom and having a special needs child. I've been through the fire, the wind, and the rain.
You better preach up.
And so I can tell you about worry, but what I know is that faith and worry can't live in the same place. So you either going to have faith or you going to worry, but you can't do both. Let me tell you something. I used to worry a lot, but then God reminded me of the data, right? I'm a data person. And God said, can you tell me the date or the time that I forsake you? Can you tell me when I allowed you to miss a mortgage payment? Can you tell me when you and that little boy missed a meal? Tell me when it was. I was like, well, dang, I can't recall it. He was like, exactly. So when are you going to trust me? When are you going to start worrying? Because I always got you. I've been had you. I need you. I keep enlarging your territory so you can tell people about me.
You better preach up in here. So let's talk about
I'm just being 100. That's why I'm passionate.
Melinda, you're not even 100. You're not 100. You're 1,000. You all the way there. I love every minute of it. I love the energy. I love what you gave to those people in the room. It was like the auntie of everybody. You know what I mean? that's the way you came off. Like, I'm gonna tell you what you need to do. You either gonna pay attention or you ain't gonna pay attention. But Auntie Melinda, she gonna tell you. Okay, this is how we going down.
I'm like, they sent for me. They know how I am. So they must have wanted y'all to know the truth.
I love it. So let's talk about that work. Let's talk about that work-life balance you were speaking of.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times people... that's one of the hardest things. And, you know,
it is hard.
You went through a divorce.
It is hard.
You know, you have a family.
Oh, yeah.
And then you still had all these people over here, which was your external family, which is your small business family. How are you balancing the work-life balance?
Well, you just have to put yourself as a priority on your own list, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things I had to stop chasing was work-life balance. And more so, I worry about presence. Like when I took days off work, I took a whole week off of work, threw my kid in the car and said, we're going to drive and see the colleges that you're interested in. And I'm going to take a whole week off of work. Let's do it. Let's get in the car. I can't remember last time I drove 1,500 miles in a week, but I did it. I did it. We went to Virginia Tech. We went to North Carolina A&T. We stopped and saw family. I was like, I needed to do that for him, because now that I have a 16 and a half year old, you know, most of the time he's up in his room with the door shut or he's got headphones on. I had to be like, no. I got to pour some more into you. I'm just going to put you in the car. You're going to be my prisoner and we're going to drive, you know, and we're going to talk. And for me, being able to have the freedom to do that with him was everything, because there's plenty of nights when it's 8 or 9 o'clock and I'm still in the computer. You know, I can remember him being little and putting his face down beside the computer going, Mommy, can I talk to you? I remember that, right? And I also remember how that felt. And I remember being stuck on a train one time coming from New York to Philadelphia and my son being left at the daycare because the train was late and I didn't get there till 7 o'clock. Wow. But what I also know is when you're kind to people don't hold your mistakes against you. Right? So I never came in that daycare acting like, oh, I'm Melinda Emerson. Did you know that? Oh, no. No, I'm JoJo's mom. Wow. And I'm kind to people. And I bring people Christmas gifts and Christmas cookies and stuff because there's going to come a time when I need some grace from somebody. Mm-hmm. So being a jerk really isn't helpful.
It's really not helpful.
But being a single mom is hard. And being a professional single mom that has to travel to make a living is hard. But what I tell my son is that we play hard too. We've done some amazing stuff. My son was 11. I woke him up that morning and said, we're going on the Disney cruise today. He was like, you lied. I was like, get in the car. Get your bag. Let's go. And when he got to the airport and saw his two homies and their moms too, he was like, oh, we're going on a Disney cruise. Like, but my heart was so glad to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
So, because there's been many a day He had to be with somebody else because I had to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so I'm just grateful that I have a life and I have a business that I haven't had a paycheck job in 23 years.
Mm.
And I have been able to do the things I wanted to do for my son, for my family, you know, and been able to do the vacations I want and treat my staff really good. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm just grateful that I have been able to build an ecosystem around my life that allows me to have a life. Now, in the early years, I ain't gonna lie, my business owned me. I didn't own it.
Ooh,
it took me a long time. It took me a long time to learn the lessons that I can now share. Right? That first 8 years, there was some rough stuff that went on in them years. I made a lot of money and I worked 12, 14 hours a day every day. I used to leave church on Sunday and go to the office and work 4 more hours before I came home.
Wow.
But I also believe that's why God made me get pregnant and made me be on bed rest and made me be at home. Because he's like, I have to reorient your whole what you doing because you're chasing money. you chasing money in a way that has made you a crazy person, right? And you making everybody else around you crazy. So I have to stop you so I can reorient you. And so then he gave me something else to love other than my business. He gave me my son.
Oh, my goodness. That is so powerful. You know what I like about you, Melinda, even from the first moment I had experienced about you? Like, there is a kind and a gentleness about you, but there's also a lion in the backyard. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be like, don't cross me now.
Exactly. Like when you was on that stage, there was a kind and a caring, gentle, but sometimes people be asking us stuff and talk about you, be like, hold up, don't let me take out this lion up in here, because I will. So I was like, you better work it and don't stop it. You know what I mean? So, oh my goodness, it's amazing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting down to the last few minutes up in here. I mean, I could talk to the Melinda ever, but she is just dropping it. And make sure that you go to, we're going to give all her information out where you can go check her out. And I'm telling you, if you want it the real way, she's going to give it to you with no chaser. So just be prepared. She's going to give you the real. Well, it might not taste good, but it's going to be what you need. That I can tell you. So, Melinda, in the small business world, you said something very powerful. You said it was a long time before you own your business that your business owned you. I think most mm-hmm. people business own them and never stop owning them until they're out of business. How do you make yeah. how do you get through that point? Because I think that's very powerful.
Well, you have to figure out how to work smarter and not harder. You have to figure out what is queen bee work versus what is worker bee work. And you have to make sure that even if it's the thing that you love in your business, actually hiring somebody else to do that would actually be better because your skills need to be focused more on sales or cultivating existing customers to keep them as customers, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of times we as entrepreneurs, we think nobody can do anything better than us. That is a lie. That is a lie we tell ourselves. That is not true. If you develop processes and systems, you can train somebody to do it the way you do it. so that you can spend your time on more high-valued activities. And I think that's the difference. A lot of times people, your business owns you because all you do is work in the business. You don't ever take the time to work on the business. You can't be strategic because you're chasing next week's payroll.
Wow.
Right? So you've really got to make sure that you can build a team. An army of one can only go so far. Even if it's a part-time virtual assistant, you got to get you a team. You got to get you some help.
And speaking of that right there, I tell everybody, they be like, oh, you be over here, you be over there. And I say, that's because everybody in my company is smarter than me. Okay, so I know how to put the right team together, and they make me look good. How important is it for having, you know, at first people can't get the right team because they can't get no team.
They can't afford it, right.
So at first, you got to kind of wear all the hats. But what about the businesses when they do get to that point where they can, you know, start developing a team? What's the best way for them to start to build a team that works on the same vision and not build a team who people are just there because they get paid?
Well, first of all, you need to have detailed job descriptions. You need to be real clear about the role that you want someone to have. But when you're interviewing people, the thing you've got to make sure is that they have the same values as you. Because if they don't, they're going to treat your opportunity very transactionally. So somebody offers them $5 more an hour, they will bounce in a second. But you only want people working for you who believe in your vision. But you got to have a vision that you can articulate to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know, you have to be able to tell people where this train is going. And then they decide if they want to jump on board.
Very
powerful. But you have to have the vision first. You got to be able to articulate your vision.
What would Melinda 20-something years ago tell Melinda today?
Oh, gosh. If I had to give advice to my younger self, I think the best piece of advice I would give is you are already enough.
Oh, you better preach up in here.
And I think the advice I would give to anybody now is that you never lose in business. Either you win or you learn. Now, some lessons gonna be more expensive than others, but my prayer for you is that you learn it the first time so that you don't have to learn it again.
And speaking of that, Melinda, a lot of times people say women have to work harder than men to build a business. And on top of that, you know, a black woman has to work even harder to build the business on that. How have you been able to make who you are work for you in spite of it all?
You know, I believe that statement is true. I do believe it's harder to be a black woman in business. To be a black person in business. But I believe for me that my work spoke for me. I have always operated in excellence. And I think that that spoke for me louder than I could speak for myself. Because like I told you, Entrepreneur Magazine said they read my blog for a year before they contacted me and asked me to write for them. And the New York Times called me 2 years after I wrote for them and asked me what I write for them. And they read my book and my blog and said, okay, we're going to let her write for the You're the Boss blog of the New York Times. But I will tell you that it's about having a spirit of excellence. But also, too, I never wrote about being a successful black woman in business. I talked about just being successful in business.
Preach it.
And so I think that there are people who just want to sell to people of color or just try to sell to black people. I was never about that life. I was like, I want everybody's money. And so I am not going to position my business.
Say that again. For
like
the people
I only know how to talk to black people. Like, I do not want people to believe that I only know how to talk to black people. Of course I know how to talk to black people, right? But I'm not going to specialize in that. I'm going to specialize in helping anybody grow a successful business, right? That's why my book is called Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. It's not Become Your Own Black Boss in 12 Months. No. I just think that's crazy myself. I mean, you know, but
I think you got to say,
so
that for
I didn't
the, say
dwell
that for
on
the
my situation.
You got to say that for the people. You got to say that for the people in the back of the church, because I don't think they heard that one right there, because that makes so much sense, because I tell people that, you know, being a great entrepreneur should be what it takes. Being an entrepreneur with results should be what it takes. They gonna know you black when you walk in the room.
Exactly.
So you ain't
exactly.
gotta.
So
you ain't gotta
like
say
that.
It.
Like, you ain't gotta like that. Yeah. No. Exactly. No reason to highlight that. It's gonna be real obvious to everybody dealing with you what it is. Right?
Yeah. What I loved about this interview is that you spoke about one thing which I think most people lack, and that is the consistency of doing something for a long period of time. You know, and still you're still doing it today and your business is successful. And I think a lot of people don't recognize how important being consistent in something is. And you are a prime example of that. OK, so if I was to ask you, outside of consistency, what would be the number two thing businesses need to do to continue grow and expand?
Well, I think they need to know who their target customer is, and they need to focus on keeping customers. It's cheaper to keep a customer than it is to go out and get a new one. And I don't think enough business owners, particularly small business owners, focus enough on keeping their customers. And if you did that, you would know not just what your customers need right now, but what they need in the future.
Very powerful. And I'm going to end it with this right here. Let's talk about systems. I often tell people that, you know, billion-dollar companies run because they have a system in place where they can put people in place to make that system work. For example, like a McDonald's, you know, it's basically run by teenagers and a manager, you know, each thing. You know, that's because they have the system of how they make money, how they make the burgers, how they give it to the customer. Let's talk about people's systems. How important is it for your system to be intact to actually grow? Because a lot of people don't even put a system intact. They kind of find a system.
Well, you have to build systems. You have to document how your business runs. Because if you don't, it's going to be very difficult to bring anyone in to help you and train them. So you've got to figure out what are the signature systems in your business. What happens every week? What happens every month? How do packages need to be going out? Like, all of those things are really, really important. And once you document them, you can teach others. And that is how you start building a team. And that is how you start building a business that can run without you, which should be everyone's goal.
Very powerful. Melinda, your final words.
Well, I just want people to know that I'm here for them. I have a resource blog, succeedasyourownboss.com. I have over 5,000 articles that will teach you how to start and grow a successful business. If you want to be trained by me, I also have Small Biz Lady University. So go and check that out. I've got a lot of great courses to teach you how to really be effective in selling online or building your business in the first place. And certainly, if all else fails, go buy my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. Make a $20 investment that's going to save you years of building a successful business.
Y'all better preach up in here. And with that, Melinda, I appreciate you coming on the Bendy Randall Show, where we believe it's your business to know. And thank you for being so gracious with your time and wanting to pour into these people that are listening, and I really appreciate you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Benny.
Thank you so much. I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and it's my humble pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and your homes. And make sure you join us next week for another powerful show right here on Benny Randall Show. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Vashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Vashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Vashani Radio app for free now.